Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Now it's over to you. If you could indicate, if you'd like to, we've got a couple of hands down here. There's one. Oh, that's what I love to see. Right. So if the first person could ask everybody to, when they it's their turn, to wait for the microphone to come to you and stand up and to say your name and organisation. So shall we start with A? Let's start with A. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Kitty Lamb. I'm a health visitor and practice teacher in York. And my question's for Viv. Thank you for your commitment to health visiting into public health. Despite the investment in health visiting, some of us have still got problems, and sadly I'm one of them. Because in York and North Yorkshire, the commissioning group have very clearly said, and it's been published, that they are not going to give any more funding to health visiting. They can't meet the standards that the government have asked for. So my question to you is, how do you propose to deal with that to stop others following suit? Because if they get away with it, everybody else will want to do the same.
Okay, thank you.
Quite a simple answer to that one, in that the clinical commissioning groups won't have the money for health visiting. The NHS Commissioning Board local area team will have the money. So there clearly needs to be a very joined up local discussion about how do we invest wisely, but the bottom line is it's for the LAT to commission health visiting, and in the new systems of leavers we have, it's for the commissioning board to deliver the numbers and the posts. So that message has been very clearly stated actually over the last year. Perhaps it hasn't been very clearly heard, and that's where we need to give you some more help.
Thank you, Viv. B, thank you.
Hello, Barbara Evans, Community Nursery Nurse in Leicestershire and Unite Community Nursery Nurse CPA, Community Nursery Nurse of the Year 2012. My question is for all of you. I had wanted to ask the Minister how he could justify spending in excess of £3 billion on reorganising the NHS, none of which goes to direct patient care. And as community nursery nurses, we're often taking the direct hit. And that I know it was not the intention of a call to action that the teams would be diminished because health visitors won't be able to achieve the goals if there are fewer nursery nurses in teams. What I wanted to ask was, Len said, why aren't the public getting angry about this? My simple answer to that is they don't know what is happening. My suggestion and question to all of you is, as we can pick up the Daily Mail-backed Metro from railway stations, could we produce a paper that people can pick up at railway stations and elsewhere that tells them what's happening to the NHS so that they can start to fight on our behalf with us?
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Sarah and Viv to answer those very briefly, and then I'm going to ask for more questions because this is your floor and I want some nice, short, succinct questions because we've only got about less than 10 minutes. Sarah, would you like to answer that point, please?
I'm sorry, I really heard only a small part of what you were saying. I think probably Len's the one that is better placed to answer the point about the investment in the NHS on the reorganisations and things than I am. All I can say really is I recognise the frustration out there on the one, but we've always had this policy practice gap, haven't we? I think it's never been as confusing as it is now. We've got, I think, and I stand by that, even I said it before you arrived, Viv, I really think we've got brilliant policy for health visiting, but there is this huge gap in getting it to the ground floor. There's places where things are really, really tough still, but the rest of the NHS is not in the same fortunate position that health visiting is. And that's an incredibly confusing situation for all of our colleagues out there, and particularly the managers who are trying to implement the good policy.
Thank you. Len and Viv, can I ask you if you could answer, how can the message be more clearly communicated to the public? Thank you.
I mean, is that on? Yes, it is. That's a great question. Of course, it goes back to what I was saying before. It is amazing. I think it was Mervyn King, the governor of the Bank of England, who said very recently that he's amazed that there aren't millions of people out on the street protesting. Can you just imagine what would happen in France if they tried to privatise and take away and reduce the National Health Service. Our problem is, of course, getting the message out. In Unite, we are constantly sending messages out to our private sector members because, of course, they are the users of our public services. And it's about linking up with all kinds of organisations. That's why we're part of the Coalition of Resistance, which joins together community groups, faith organisations, senior citizens, student organisations to raise the issue. But in Unite, and my Assistant General Secretary, Gail Cartmell, who you all know is here and has been at the forefront of, we believe that the National Health Service, although the attacks right throughout the welfare state and public services are wrong, the National Health Service is the one jewel in the crown, if you like, that people understand. And we're trying to get the TUC to concentrate on that, not in exclusion to everything else, but to effectively get people angry. And the way that you do that in terms of sending out publications, your idea about can we produce a paper, the problem is that that costs a fortune to actually produce. But the message needs to be got out as best we can. And I think, you know, it is, as I said before, it's beginning to strike home. Last year on March the 26th, the TUC organised the largest demonstration ever in the history of the TUC. Nearly 750,000 people out on the streets protesting against what was happening. And hundreds of thousands of them would have been non-union members, but who see that the trade unions are effectively trying to act as an opposition to where we are. Just recently, a few weeks ago, 150,000, 200,000 people on the streets again, a heavy emphasis on the National Health Service. So it's about, it's a long road, it's a big battle, it's about us trying to kind of make certain that people understand that we're not going away, getting people to raise issues. The publications that we sent through to all of our members, including, as I say, our private sector members, is constant, so that we can counterbalance the message that has been getting peddled for many years by politicians. And our evidence that we're getting back tells us that it is hitting home. But the frustration is, of course, that that's not manifesting itself in the way that we want. But my message is that we shouldn't give up hope. We need to continue to expose what's going on, and we need to try and influence politicians. I haven't come here particularly just to bash the government. I wish to God they'd listen to us. And also, obviously, the Labour Party, which we're affiliated to, we have to persuade them to take a more proactive and public and stance on what's happening. I think Andy Burnham has been doing a good job in exposing the...
And Len, sorry to interrupt you, Andy Burnham is going to be speaking to the conference later.
Well,
so I'm going to, if you don't mind, I would very much like to ask Viv if she'd like to make a response. Thank you very much.
I'll make a response in a slightly different way, because I think Len's covered the political dimension for you very, very ably. What I would say is I think we've got a second visibility problem. The first one is when we do hear a story, you know, frankly, if you came down from Mars to the NHS today, you'd think all nurses wore a uniform, all nurses worked in hospital, all nurses looked after old people, and mostly probably weren't terribly nice. And that's what we're hearing, actually. Whereas what I want to hear is public health and prevention is really, really important. The only way we can have a sustainable health service in this country is to support people with their own health. The most important people in the early years to make that happen are the public health nurses in this room. So I have another narrative that I am looking for you to help me with, and that is getting that visibility around that narrative. And I think there are several ways we can do it. One of the ones, going back to the Twitter, not that I'm now... Well, no, that's not true. I am now a Twitter evangelist. I think we can do more through those kind of informal works. We have ways. I would like to just come back... is it Barbara? Well, first of all, congratulations on your award. We've spoken before, and that's great. I think the role of nursery nurses is absolutely key in the early years workforce. We're doing a lot more work now with ministers, actually, and others around it is the outcomes of this programme. We can't deliver this whole programme and then have so what. So what we got was no different a service, probably more cost. This was supposed to increase capacity and our skill range. We are continuing to push the important role of skill mixed teams in delivery and of nursery nurses in those skill mixed teams. And there is, I know there is a nursery nurse meeting tomorrow. Is Pauline here? Which Pauline's leading. Yes, Pauline is here. And I'll hope to join that meeting. So I'm very happy to take more questions and more suggestions from you at that meeting.
Thank you very much, Viv. I know we've got somebody, A is your letter. If you just stand up and... thank you.
Hi, my name's Julie Maddox and I'm a health visitor in Liverpool. And I'd just like to say today, I am angry because Mr. Poulter has just made me very angry. And I would like you, Chair, to challenge him because he has just displayed how he values us. It was pathetic, his address, and I'm really, really angry, and I expect the CPHVA to challenge him on that address.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. CPHVA will, I'm sure, be responding.
I would just like to make one reflection, and you can be angry with me too if you like. We were discussing all the way down in the train whether it was better for the minister to appear very, very briefly or not to appear at all. And the decision was made that he appeared very briefly. And I apologise if we made that decision the wrong call. It was entirely genuine circumstances. And if we called it wrong with the CPHVA leaders, I apologise for that. He wanted to show you that he was very much wanting to meet you in the early days of his ministry. I think probably to discuss it on a public platform won't take us forward, but I feel I had to say that. Thank you.
Well, I think one good thing is it's got you all fired up. Now, make use of that energy in a constructive, positive way. I think we've got somebody here, and then there's somebody there and there. So really be short so that we can get a couple more. Thank you very much.
Sally Floyd, nurse consultant, public health, health visitor from East Riding of Yorkshire. Just want to pick up on the theme of leadership, really. While we very much welcome Viv's appointment, there seems to be a lack of senior registered public health nurse leadership in Public Health England, other roles. Can you assure a conference that this will be addressed, please?
Yeah. I can't tell you how thrilled I am that we've decided for the first year at least, the arrangement that we're going to put in place will mean that I will have the nurse leadership across policy, the wider workforce and Public Health England. We've had a series. I've just joined the executive of Public Health England. We have an approvals board in which we took the nurse leadership paper around what needs to happen. I've made it very clear that sticking one person on an executive board does not make nurse leadership in Public Health England. You will, the nurses within Public Health England will be contacted over the next 2 weeks from a public health nurse who's working with us and an IT specialist nurse around who are you, what do you want to happen, how can we make this happen, what needs to happen. So I think we have come in at the right time and we have a real opportunity now. HPA nurses have said to me they felt quite dispersed and not very visible in the old system. They really want to come together to be a strong voice in Public Health England around nursing and health protection, nurses and health improvement, specialist consultants like yourself. Fantastic opportunity to come together. Anyone who'd like to be part of the expert advisory group on the Public Health Nursing Programme, please see me. Brilliant opportunities, so thank you for the question.
Now, I'm going to take Chair's action and ask the B, sorry, I don't know your name, and then there's somebody here on, if we could get a microphone to the lady with the grey jumper or blouse. And I'm going to ask you to give your questions one after the other and then have them answered. So thank you.
Okay. I'm Hilary Levan. I'm health visitor team leader in Torbay Care Trust, still in the NHS, thankfully, and with a commitment from our management to remain so, which is brilliant. However, we are surrounded by Devon, which Richard Branson's going to take over, and social enterprise in Plymouth. So we're very much a little island in the middle of where we're sitting. But that wasn't my point. My point really is, thank you, Viv, for your very excellent presentation, and I've been to some of your call-to-action seminars, as you know, and Pauline's come down and talked to us in the southwest, which is fantastic. You left out one very important thing under courage. We have to have the courage. We are professionals. We're highly regarded professional people. We have to have the courage to challenge our management and our commissioners and we have to say, actually, this is rubbish. We're not going to do one visit and put the rest down to skill mix. We have to have the courage to say, this is not what the call to action says. This is not what our healthy child programme says. We're supposed to be increasing the number of contacts we have with our families. That's how we're going to get our preventative work done in the first year of life. And that's what we've got to do. We can talk to our commissioners. We can talk to our managers. We may not feel we have much influence with government, and we leave that to the experts. But we can influence our local trusts. So please, everybody, if you haven't already had those conversations with your managers and your commissioners, go back and do it, because they will listen to you. If you're being asked to do something that you cannot achieve until your uplift is in place, tell them. Tell them you can't do 95% of antenatal visiting because you haven't got enough health visitors in place. Just tell them. You know, tell them you'll do it as soon as you can because you know it's important.
Thank you very much.
But at the moment, you can't.
Sorry to interrupt you because I did promise this person. Thank you. Yes. This will be the final question for this session. Thank you.
My name's Justine Rook. I'm again from a trust in North Yorkshire, and I share my colleagues' frustrations about being told they probably won't be able to meet the call to action targets. I just wanted really to know if it is an isolated incident for us in the north, and also what advice you can give us as reps to sort of challenge that decision, and also what consequences there will be if the decision goes or continues and stands.
I think that's a question for Viv.
Within the system changes in April, obviously. Within this year, there is really, really close monitoring. Where's David? CPHA, David. Yeah. So we have a formal system, and we have the eyes and ears, which is David over there. Where local situations arise, we follow them up on the intelligence CPHA and others can give us individually, and we follow it up through the formal mechanism, which says, you know, SHA, this is on your patch. Why is this happening? What action are you taking? What needs to happen? If we fail to get a result, we're doing our first, we're both coming in a pincer action visit, aren't we, very soon, which says, you've had a gentle warning. We still need to do this. When we move post-April into the new system, the NHS Commissioning Board and its local area teams will be responsible for making sure these are delivered, and they will use those systems in place. There are, you are not the only one. There are other patches where there are difficulties. I don't sit here to lie to you. We follow them up when we know about them. We try to keep our monitoring at a low enough level that we can spot them coming. And we always encourage people to write to me or Pauline or both so that we can track your concerns. And that offer still stands.
We show our appreciation to all the speakers on the panel.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.